Chapter 21.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
It felt like no time at all. Logically, Plo knew that hours had passed between Obi-Wan and John's flight into the bowels of the temple and the official transfer of Obi-Wan into his care. But now, finally tucked away into his sealed rooms, mask on the table before him and new Padawan hopefully settling down in his own room, Plo's head ached. He could only imagine the pain Mace was going through, with his own Padawan to deal with, as well as the inevitable shatter points that must be dancing around these two younglings constantly. Plo settled back onto his meditation cushion at the center of the room with a sigh he felt in his bones. Slowly, he eased his way into the Force and winced at the waves of disturbance around him. With luck, his own meditation would help Obi-Wan to relax a bit in their shared quarters. It was so obvious now that his attention had been drawn to it, the unnatural lack of a presence in the Force that Obi-Wan had, his shields so impressive in their strength that they masked him enough that even the oldest and wisest among their number could not feel his suffering. Far too late to learn that for the Order's most powerful projector, it was all too easy to turn those same emotions inwards. Plo breathed in the gases native to his homeworld, and let the familiarity of it ease some of the tension in his body. The Council was aware of what had transpired now. Steps had been taken to begin to heal the damage wrought. Hopefully, the younglings would allow them this chance. Sometime later, a soft chime from his comm drew his attention from his meditation. Taking a moment to reflect, Plo decided that what he had accomplished for now would suffice. He could feel the slow ripples in the Force of a mind at rest in Obi-Wan's room, and relief filled him that the youngling was able to rest after the excitement of the day. His comm chimed again, and with a curl of his claws, he summoned it to his hand. Upon seeing the code requesting a call, he answered immediately. A familiar figure in blue light rose above the projector, and Plo dipped his head in an abbreviated bow to the displeased rumble of his former master.
"Much movement there has been in the council today, my Padawan," Tyvoka said.
Well used to the questions not asked in conversations with the Wookiee, Plo once again dipped his head. "As the news will be formally announced to the temple tomorrow, I will tell you now that Master Jin has been forcefully stripped of his active mission duties and Padawan Kenobi has been removed from his care permanently." It was not often that Plo surprised his master, but even with the look of shock on his face, he could not bring himself to rouse any amusement over the situation.
"The youngling as well?"
Tyvoka asked, worry clear on his face. Plo knew that Tyvoka had always been wary of Jin's attitudes toward the code and his fallen Padawan. Before he had stepped down from the council, Tyvoka had been one of the few voices disagreeing on the chosen trial for young Xanatos. Upon the news of Xanatos's apparent death, Tyvoka had turned in his resignation immediately, much to Yoda's displeasure. Even in the face of the Order's Grand Master, Tyvoka had been unbending. Privately, Plo thought part of the reasoning behind Tyvoka's long-term assignment in the Outer Rim was due to his rather vocal disagreement with Yoda's blatant meddling. So, his master's concern for Obi-Wan was unsurprising, although the expletives that were being growled out in Shriwook about Jin were becoming rather violent. "Yes, Padawan Kenobi is perfectly safe now." Tyvoka narrowed his eyes.
"Implying he was not safe before."
Even the reminder of the stress of the night dragged tension back into his shoulders, and Plo took several moments to return to his breathing pattern. Tyvoka looked at him in blatant concern once he had finished.
"My Padawan?"
There was a slight incident upon Kenobi's return to the temple. I cannot go into detail, but I am able to say Kenobi is no longer in danger and is safe. Tyvoka nodded, understanding the need for confidentiality from the council, especially in a case removing a youngling from their master. A particular gleam made itself known in Tyvoka's eyes, and Plo braced himself for whatever would come out of his master's mouth next.
"So, now that he has been removed from Jin,"
Taibaka said, faux casually.
I imagine he will be needing a new master.
Ah, Plo started, only for Taibaka to continue.
Unless, of course, he's already been claimed.
Taibaka smirked at him, fingers laced neatly in front of him as he watched Plo fumble for words, slightly flustered at the knowing look in his eyes.
Am I, perhaps, a grandmaster once again, my dearest Padawan?
He couldn't help the smile that stretched across his face, even as his embarrassment rose. Taibaka let out a bark of laughter. I may have acquired a new Padawan, yes, Plo said. Raising a hand to stop Taibaka from crowing in glee, Plo let his mask slip, just enough for his master to truly see his exhaustion. It was enough, as it always had been, to get Taibaka to become the respected counselor he had been, face serious, even if the delighted glint in his eyes remained. But Padawan Kenobi has been damaged greatly, not only by his previous master, but by the inactions of the council itself. His trust will take time to earn, Plo sighed, heart aching at the distrust that had practically screamed from Kenobi and Little Antilles in the council chamber. Taibaka dipped his chin, expression growing softer as he watched Plo through the connection.
Yes, and out of all the masters at the council's disposal, you are the one who will aid young Kenobi the most.
Plo blinked at the Beskar-clad surety in Taibaka's voice. Humming in consideration, Taibaka gave him a pointed look that had Plo hiding a wince.
But you will do the youngling no good if you do not get enough sleep, Padawan.
Dipping his head, Plo murmured, Yes, master. Taibaka winked at him cheekily once he looked back up and said,
I look forward to meeting my new grand Padawan,
before he hung up abruptly. The news Plo had intended to share with Taibaka about Obi-Wan's close friendship with Jon and that whole lineage would apparently not be done tonight. Standing, Plo made his way to the bed. Force knew that Master Saw was more than willing to fight anyone in her way. Maybe, just maybe, Dooku would be willing to do the same. Jon didn't know what to do. Master Mace and Deppa were in the living room drinking tea and speaking in low voices. He was hiding in his room, tucked into an easily defensible corner, lightsaber clutched between his hands as he tried not to hyperventilate. There had been so much anger in the council chambers. While Deppa had convinced him and Obi-Wan it was safe, that no one would make them leave or hurt them, there had been a moment crossing the threshold that they had flinched. The anger crackling over the solemn figures had felt like acid being rubbed into raw skin, and he knew the way they had clutched each other sharply, hiding behind Deppa, had been noticed. Everyone in the room had exchanged looks when he and Obi-Wan had clustered in the center of the room and didn't bow. His master had apologized to them both, and Jon was still unsure how he felt about it. Jon had been running on adrenaline and protectiveness, and had been bolder than he'd ever let himself be before. After, all Jon knew was that over the sound of rushing noise in his ears, someone had been speaking, and then he'd had to leave. Deppa had put a hesitant hand on his shoulder, tugging him gently from the room, leaving Obi-Wan standing at the center alone. Obi-Wan had squeezed his hand in acknowledgement before he'd left, letting him know it was okay, but nothing about today was okay. He'd felt the flash of utter terror from behind Obi-Wan's shields when they had realized Jon would have to leave, and nothing short of Obi-Wan himself telling him what happened would calm Jon down. It would be easier than breathing to go to Obi-Wan and tuck himself under his chin, to hug him, but he'd promised Deppa that he wouldn't run again. Her dark eyes had been sad when he realized they had reached his and Master Windu's quarters, and she had been so unbearably kind when she crouched in front of him and told him there would be another meeting in the morning, that he would see Obi-Wan tomorrow. She had asked him to stay put. It was easy to remember the fear in her eyes when she had finally found them in the temple's depths, and the relief that had surged through her when she saw them. It had been enough to convince them to trust her, just a little bit. Jon wanted, needed, to see Obi-Wan, to hear from him what the council had said. He knew that Obi-Wan was still in temple, and was calm enough. Jon knew that Obi-Wan wasn't physically hurt. If he had been, there wouldn't be anything or anyone in this temple that could keep them apart. But he'd promised. So, he jammed himself further into the corner, dimly aware of the fact he was trembling, and fought against the burning in his eyes. John realized that he was probably broadcasting his emotions into the Force, and with his master and Deppa so nearby, he didn't want them to know how weak he was. Focusing on his shields was almost enough to make him break down again, because Obi-Wan taught him how to do this and Obi-Wan wasn't here. John was spiraling. Something about the day had shaken something loose inside him, old fear and panic that felt disproportionate to what had actually happened. But he was a Jedi, even if he didn't feel much like one right now, and he'd do whatever it took to calm down so he'd be able to think clearly. Once John had carefully tucked everything that was himself behind layers and layers of winding shields, it was late enough at night that he couldn't hear any more conversation out in the living room. His skin was clammy, and when he relaxed his grip on his lightsaber, indents were left on his palms. Thankfully, sorting everything to fit in his shields was meditative enough that he was more aware of himself and everything around him than he had been in several hours. He usually only felt this comfortable in his skin when tucked just behind Obi-Wan, half in his shadow. Thinking of Obi-Wan made a shiver of fear rush through him, and John had to take several deep breaths. Closing his eyes, John focused on the sense feel that was Obi-Wan in the Force, methodically making his way from level to level to find him. Surprisingly, Obi-Wan wasn't too far from his quarters, only one tower away and several floors down. From the feel of him, he was meditating on his own shields, so John was content with the knowledge of Obi-Wan's location and general well-being. The sensation of Obi-Wan meditating in the Force was so familiar, so like their knights tucked together in their repurposed room, basking in the sense of another who knew, that John was finally able to relax. If he closed his eyes, he could almost imagine that Obi-Wan was next to him, and nothing was wrong. John floated in the comforting hug of the Force for the entirety of Obi-Wan's meditation. It was only the muted surprise pleasure bubbling from Obi-Wan's presence that alerted him to their shared awareness. Hesitantly, John pushed his own fear-discomfort-fear to Obi-Wan, shrinking back as much as he could while still being present in the Force, feeling like he was hiding under a blanket or the hood of a cloak as he did so. Almost immediately, Obi-Wan swelled in the Force, reaching out to him with regret reassurance. A hint of fear not his own slipped through as well, but John ignored it in favor of the sheer comfort in Obi-Wan's mind pressing against his, projecting the sensation of a hug with such tenderness that John could feel his eyes begin to burn against his will. As if feeling that, Obi-Wan seemed to chuckle, pulling back enough to simply rest near him. The two of them basked, and John could feel occasional prods from Obi-Wan, gentle strokes in the Force, much like a hand brushing against his own to make sure that he was still there. It made something in John warm, knowing that Obi-Wan cared so much. If only the rest of the Order could see how good Obi-Wan was. They were so wrapped up in each other, giving and taking comfort, that when a knock sounded on John's door, he startled so hard he toppled over, severing the connection he shared with Obi-Wan. Hissing through his teeth at the flare of pain in his head, John pressed his knuckles to his forehead, rubbing in a futile attempt to chase the headache away. "John," Mace's voice filtered through the door, concern lacing his words. "I've prepared breakfast if you're feeling up to it." Opening his mouth, John almost managed to get a response out before he choked, the words heavy on his tongue at the realization that another council meeting was on the horizon. Feeling a sharper burst of concern outside his door, John pushed himself off the floor, resigning himself to an awkward breakfast with his master before they went to the council chamber. John settled at the table across from Mace. He looked quickly at his master's face and then away again. "Good morning, Padawan," he said warmly. Routine meant that John should have said it back. He'd come a long way from Dark Woman's rules of only answering direct questions. He hadn't hesitated around Mace like this in weeks. But the words didn't come. John kept thinking of being cornered at the healers, forced to share his scars and failures. Yes, Mace said that his scars were strength, not weakness. But then, he'd ignored what John had to say about Jin's terrible training abilities. John had presented him evidence, trusted him enough to contradict him, and Mace hadn't believed him. He'd dismissed Obi-Wan's experiences, dismissed John's words, just like Dark Woman always had. Maybe Mace hadn't hit him, but it still hurt. Mace had apologized, Jedi weren't perfect by any means, and the Council was making amends, but John couldn't believe it. Not really. It felt like all of the trust, all of the leaps and bounds he'd made, were for nothing. When it came down to it, John stayed in the temple for Obi-Wan. Deppa and Master Saw were nice, but it was Obi-Wan that made him stay. Maybe he would trust Mace again, at some point. But for now, John had used all his words, all his boldness, yesterday in defense of his friend. Although he didn't say it, Mace seemed to get the hint from his continued silence. His master's face appeared almost grieved as he closed his eyes. Through the well-shielded bond, Mace pressed forward both regret and sorrow. "I promise I will work to regain your trust, John, as well as Padawan Kenobi's. But there is no rush. I want you to know that there is no amount of silence or anger from you that would ever lead me to intentionally harm you or abandon you, my Padawan. I swear it," Mace said. John met his eyes quickly before glancing away. He hoped that Mace succeeded in his mission. End of chapter 21.